And so today, it is my privilege to introduce our speaker. This guy was the Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Ronald Reagan. He's passionate about the Word of God. Every time, I've only been here for 3 months, and every time I'm around Denny Shaw, he just drops these wisdom, I said wisdom bombs last service, drops these wisdom bombs on me, and I'm like, man, that is great. And so without anything else, here's Pastor Denny Shaw.
Thank you, Josh. Oh, my. Yeah. Sometimes I think they're just bombs, you know. I'm glad he thinks they're full of wisdom. But thank you. It's very generous of you. Well, here we are, week 7. I love those pictures, too. Did you see Moses there parting this Red Sea? Isn't there God parting the Red Sea before him? Just wonderful. This is week 7. We're going to be looking at Moses. I get to use the word in week 7 because this is an 8-week series. So week 7 is the next to the last week in this series, the penultimate week, you know, in this series. I love to use words like that. That's why things like, you know, epic, you know, and ultimate, and oh, I'm a Buzz Lightyear fan, you know, to infinity and beyond. I just love those kinds of things, but we're going to be looking at that, and we are running with a giant Moses this week. Our baseline scripture is Hebrews 1 that we've been reading. You know that, therefore. I'm going to read it in just a minute, but you're going to see I've done some interesting things with this verse in the book of Hebrews. By the way, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. A lot of people think Paul did. You know, good chance he did, but we don't know. But whoever wrote it, it's God's word and it's in our canon, and it is true. I've added verse 2. I think it's very important to remembering all of verse 1. You know, it's an integral part of that, and Aaron is going to be finishing that up with Jesus next week, and that's part of verse 2. You'll see that. Let me read this, and then as you look at this, you might not be able to see it on the screen, but you'll see it in your notes that there's some things that I've done with this, and so I can call them to your attention. Let's look at this. Hebrews 12, 1, and then added 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. And you'll notice what I did. The action words I put in bold print, throw off, run, and fixing. And then I underlined the subject words, the great crowd of witnesses, everything, the sin, the race, and Jesus, kind of a teaching learning technique. But I want to assure you of one thing, ladies and gentlemen. I am not here to give you a Bible lesson today. Even as a teacher, I'm not a great preacher like Aaron. I teach Bible. But when I prayed about this after Aaron gave me this assignment, Lord said, I'm here to give you a message. It is a message from God by the Holy Spirit through me to you and through these words of Moses. And I'd like to begin before we get into Moses. Let's just start the way we have this last 6 weeks, okay? We're in the arena. And the race that's marked out for us is about to begin. We stand at the starting line with other runners and we glance around at this great crowd of people in the stands. And we notice, as we've noticed every week, there's something unusual about these people. They're not mere spectators. These people are all giants, giants of Bible history. These spectators have already run the race, and they finished it. They threw off everything that hinders, and they threw off the sin that so easily entangles. They fixed their eyes on Jesus and they ran the race marked out for us, living life by faith. And if you go back and look at chapter 11, you understand the importance of those words by faith, because it is describing a life by faith. That's why in chapter 12 it says therefore. Because when you go back to 11, it says by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab, by faith David, and on in this great cloud of witnesses. You know what? They're living witnesses. They live today. They live in heaven. We saw that in the mountain, in the transfiguration. But having completed the race, they have much to teach us. The Apostle Paul, I think, said it quite bluntly. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, follow my example. These living witnesses, they're a source of encouragement for us. Because when we see that they finished the race, we're encouraged to keep running, to keep on living life with perseverance, long-distance runners, by faith. And when we grow weary, when we grow tired, when we want to give up, their voices just cry out in unison. Keep running! You can make it. We did it. And if we're to be good long-distance runners in the race marked out for us, then we have to do those verb words. We have to throw off everything that hinders. Did you notice in that, if you look down in Hebrews 12, did you notice there isn't a list of things that hinders? Hebrews 12 just simply asserts we are to throw off everything that hinders. You know as well as I do, God makes each one of us aware of the things that hinder us. And then we become responsible for throwing it off. And I think it's important for us Christians to admit that there are things that, there's sin, obviously, but there are things that are not sinful, but are nonetheless hindrances that keep us from running the race, that prevent us from living life by faith. It may be a relationship, a hobby, a job, a type of music, a type of literature, a form of entertainment. It could be an activity, an all-consuming habit. It can be shame, it can be fear, or other things that are, they're not immoral, they're not sinful, but they're consuming. And they are a hindrance to our running the race marked out for us. And that's why Jesus asked this penetrating question in Mark 8, verse 36. And I know you know this question. Jesus asked, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Hebrews 12 also talks not just about the everything, it talks about the sin that so easily entangles us, all of us, no exceptions. And I thought, that begs the question. What sin is common to all of us? I think the Bible identifies this sin in a number of ways. You've heard it called the flesh, the old man, as opposed to the new man, just to name a couple. Whatever the name, the sin is common to every one of us. And whatever you choose to call it, it can most easily be understood by the term self-rule or self-lordship. It's called the sin of my way versus God's way. Yeah. The sin that so easily entangles us is our desire to run the race the way we want to run it. The sin, the inner battle, is all about lordship. It was right there in the beginning of Genesis. The tree of life, God's way, or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what we know is good, what we know is evil, what we decide, we run, we're in control, not God. And it so easily entangles us. We just want our way. We are constantly entangled and tripping over this sin or this issue of lordship. And that's why the writer of Hebrews tells us, throw off the sin that so easily entangles us and everything that hinders us. But the question is, how? How do we do this? That's where I think Moses can help us. And we raise the question, what would this giant among giants of the Bible, what would Moses say to us today? I prayed about this in preparing for this. I don't want to just make something up. What would Moses say? The Spirit said, well, look at what Moses said when he was there. And look at Moses' life and his circumstances. And it'll be clear. So we look at that. Exodus 3, some selected verses there, verses 1 and 2 and 7 and 10. We put those together. It's right there in your notes. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from a bush. The Lord said, and notice that connection. The Lord said, the angel of the Lord, one and the same. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So now, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, ultimately, Moses, as God commanded, he did go back to Egypt. He went back to Egypt where he was a former prince of Egypt, a future pharaoh of Egypt. But he was also in Egypt a Hebrew, a murderer, and a fugitive. And when Moses went back to Egypt, he did exactly what the Lord commanded him to do. And I just kept hearing this. And this, what did Moses say? He said this so much. And we know Moses is all over the Bible in the Old Testament. He's there. You look at this. Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus. We're in Deuteronomy. If you're doing the read through the Bible now, you've been seeing all of this. By the way, I just want to mention to those of you who have kind of not enjoyed Numbers and Leviticus and that makes you fall asleep and that kind of, yeah, I know, I'm guilty of that too. But it's there for a reason and it's really good. And I want you to know this. I'm going to point it out to you. I'm just kind of digressing from this. And I'm going like, in this number, remember there were people that had to live in the south and people that had to live in the east and they had to live in the west and this and so many numbers and blah, 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 blah. Our God is a God of perfection and everybody has his place. Yeah. He wants you to know that. He has things, and I'm glad he does. And you have one too. And I know we read it and we go like, oh, look, I really want to live on the north side, not south side. And wait a minute, I want to be the one that kind of puts up the tent rather than takes it down. Really? You go back and read that stuff that puts you to sleep and you understand God has a place for you. This is where you fit in, okay? The dream team? Mm-hmm. Okay, all right, let me go back. What was Pharaoh saying? Look, he repeatedly said to Pharaoh, let my people go. Oh, I'm going to drive this in the ground. He said, Pharaoh, let my people go, or all the water in Egypt will be turned into blood. All the water, not just the Nile. See, go back and look at it. All the water. Let my people go, or frogs will plague all Egyptians. Let my people go, or gnats will infest the Egyptians and their animals. Let my people go, or flies will swarm all Egypt's people and their houses. Let my people go, or all Egyptian livestock will die, but not Israel's. Let my people go, or boils will break out on all Egyptians and their animals. let my people go, or the worst hailstorm ever will pummel Egypt. Let my people go, or locusts will cover Egypt and devour everything. There wasn't anything that was left. The locusts ate everything. Let my people go, or darkness will cover Egypt for 3 days. Total, absolute black darkness. Let my people go, or the firstborn human and animal in throughout Egypt will die at midnight. And I said, Lord, is that what Moses is going to say to us today? Spirit says to me, well, no, but something very like it. Today, Moses would say to us, my people, let go. To live a life with your eyes fixed on Jesus, the race marked out for us, a life by faith, Moses would say to us, abandon safe, let go. And live by faith. And I thought more about this. And I said, yeah, look at Moses' life. And look at the surrounding circumstances. Look what this stiff-necked people he had to contend with, who refused to let go, who refused to live by faith, and then wandered around the desert and went nowhere. Why? They missed out on God's plan. Well, look at that. Let's look at Moses' life. Look when he was born. Pharaoh had said, oh, these Hebrew people, they're going to take over our nation. We're going to kill all of the male children in Egypt. Throw them into the Nile. Well, his parents did. They had a little twist on it. They threw him into the Nile, but they put him in a basket and sailed down, became a prince of Egypt. But it was a let go. Had to let the baby go. Moses was let go. 40 years later, having been 4 decades a prince of Egypt, he had to leave Egypt. He had to leave the safety of the palace and let go and go out into the desert, run as a fugitive and hide. But for 40 years, he became successful. He had a wife and a family, became a successful shepherd. And then we read this burning bush thing. God saying, go back to Egypt. Let go of the last 40 years. See it in Moses' life. Let go, let go, let go, let go of what's safe. Ultimately, look at this. And when he was 120 years old and was dying, he had to let go of the promised land he couldn't even go into. But he was back at the Mount of Transfiguration to see Jesus. Okay? Big message. But look at the Israelites, who at first appeared to have let go. Oh, they painted their door jambs with the blood of the lamb, protected their firstborns. They walked out of Egypt. They walked away from slavery into the desert, loaded down with plunder. I mean, the Egyptians just gave them everything of gold and silver and everything. They walked out with it. Amazing. It looked like they had let go, but in fact, they had not let go. After they left Egypt, time and again, every time there was trouble, every time there was a problem, every time there was a great challenge, the Israelites always, always, always wanted to go back to Egypt and pick up what they were supposed to let go. I'll give you examples. They just left Egypt. They're trapped by the Red Sea. They can't go anywhere. Exodus 14, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. We would have been better off to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Then God parted the waters of the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. 45 days later, scripture says, on the 15th day of the second month after they left Egypt, they're in the desert of Sin. Days later, Exodus 16. In the desert, the whole community, 1.5 million of them, 2 million of them, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate food we wanted. But you have brought us out to the desert to starve this entire assembly to death." Then, every day, God sent manna and quail. God's way, their way. At Rephidim, shortly later, Exodus 17. But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and our livestock die of thirst?" And then God caused water to spring forth from a rock. And at the base of the mountain in Sinai, Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Do you see it? What Moses had to deal with? The Israelites didn't really let go. They kept going back to what they wanted, to what they knew, to what they thought was safe. They wanted their way, not God's way. They didn't trust in God. And that's why Moses would tell us today to abandon safe. Abandon safe. Let go and live by faith, the race marked out for us. There's consequences. There's consequences. If you do not let go, safe will keep you trapped in the past. A captive, a prisoner. Now, I'm going to use the Message here. It's a paraphrasing of the Bible, you know, NIV, NASB. King James. This is the Message. It's a paraphrase, but it's so good. God is speaking. He's speaking to Isaiah, and he says, "Now you go tell the Israelites this." He says, "Forget about what's happened." I think in New Jersey and New York, they say, "Forget about it." Forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I, God, am about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. Look, we're always going to be a prisoner and a captive of what we will not let go. We'll always remain a captive, a slave in our Egypt. Let me give you an example. This is a great example. This is one you're going to remember. The way they used to trap monkeys, they still trap them this way too, but for the zoos, when they were building great zoos a couple of centuries ago, they would be out in a clearing. Of course, they knew troops of monkeys were all out through the jungle. Out in the clearing, they'd put a stake in the ground. They'd have this rope on it, and the end of the rope would be a box, very small, but it'd have a little small hole in it. They'd put some fruit in there, if they're monkeys, maybe a banana, I don't know what. And they go hide in the jungles and wait for the troops of monkeys to come by. Troops of monkeys come by. One monkey put his hand in the box to hold this. And they'd come running out. And the troop of monkeys would all go running off. Everybody go running off. And at the end of the rope, this one monkey that was running, bam, he'd come to an end. End of the rope. Hand in the box. Holding on to the fruit. All of the others running off to freedom. Now, he can do one of two things. Hold on and become a prisoner in a zoo for the rest of his life. Everybody just watching him, looking at him in a cage, imprisoned because he wouldn't let go. Or he could let go and be free. It's a choice we have. It's a choice we have. Let go. Abandon safe. Okay. Or you'll always be trapped in the past. Also, if you don't let go, safe will keep you satisfied with today. Maybe even a pretend, you become a pretend Christian. Let's look at Moses' life on this in Exodus 2. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people, and you know he killed that Egyptian. You know, I looked at this for so many years, and I thought one day after Moses grown up, like, you know, oh, he opened the doors of the palace. Look, they're abusing my people. I'm going like, ladies and gentlemen, Moses was 40 years old when this happened. For four decades, he had been, you know, growing up in the palace and around Egypt. He had run of the land. He had seen his people being beaten all the time. This wasn't the only occasion. He had become satisfied with being a prince in Egypt. He liked it. Until he decided it was time to go and let go. For 40 years, four decades, he was not a part of his people. You know, sometimes we just become too satisfied with just kind of doing the rote things over and over again. Not really a heart thing. And I'm reminded of this story that Jesus told about separating the sheep from the goats. And it's not just a story and it's not a parable. This is Jesus talking about when he's coming back. And he's talking about separating sheep from goats. And he's not talking about, ladies and gentlemen, about picking out those who are saved, you know, the sheep, the good, from the goats, the bad. I don't think that's what he's saying. He's saying this is a flock. The time that he lived, they raised goats and sheep together. They sacrificed goats. They were unblemished. But sometimes you had to sort them out and separate them. Listen to what Jesus says. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all of the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All of the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, the sheep, the genuine Christians, come. You who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Involved, do, not just the rote things, but the things that really mean something. And there's a real danger in us becoming satisfied with today. Don't ever become satisfied today. Don't ever become satisfied with where you are now. Always look into your heart. Lord, where am I? Am I genuine? Or am I pretending? That day's coming. We're all in the flock. Goats and sheep. He's going to sort them. Don't be satisfied with today. Also, if you do not let go, safe will keep you afraid, if not terrified, of tomorrow. And you'll miss out on God's plan for your life. I love to look again back at Moses' life. Just a simple line in Exodus 4:13. But Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Now, I know that sounds really genuine, and it sounds like, you know, Moses is the most humble guy in the world, but you know the way I read this? This is a control freak. Excuse me for calling Moses a control freak, but a control person buttering up God. Yeah, he's trying to control the situation. Look at this. You are God, you are Lord, and I am your servant. Now here's what I want you to do. Really? You see it? Okay? You are Lord, I am your servant. Butter. Butter. Okay? Now here's what I want you to do. Send somebody else. Controller. My way. Not God's way. Now I know he added the word please in there. That's just more butter and a nice controller. More butter and a nice controller. You see it? We could sometimes, oh Lord, please, and then you know, like Moses, please. Oh, if the Israelites hadn't been afraid of tomorrow, if they hadn't been afraid of what was ahead, the land of the giants, remember that, they would have been led into Canaan, a land flowing with milk and honey. But there were consequences. Remember that? 1,500,000 or more, maybe 2 million, maybe more than 2 million, they walked out of Egypt and across dry land through those spread waters, separated waters. But every one of them who was age 20 and older never made it to the promised land except for two, Joshua and Caleb. Remember? Everybody else from 20, under 20, they got to go in there. There's consequences for not letting go. They wandered around in the hot, dry desert and died there, homeless. Because they were afraid of the giants. They hadn't let go. They were afraid of what was in front of them and tomorrow. And look what happened every time. Remember I said God parted the waters. He sent quail and manna, water to spring out of a rock. How weak is our faith? Today, if you're happy as a captive in your Egypt, if you like having your way rather than God's way, if you're content staying where you think it is safe, fine. Fine. Stay there. You drive. You decide. It's not a problem. You can continue to come to church and still look and act like you left Egypt. But I don't think, you know, that's what God wants. And I know Moses would say this. He'd say, you better let go because your way is not safe. And your way is not the race God marked out for you. Your race to run by perseverance, a long-distance runner, is the race God marked for you. It's a life by faith. Trust God. On the other hand, there's encouragement here. A lot of encouragement. Look at this. If you want to abandon safe and let go and live, you know, your hand, you grip on this. Okay, let me give you some things. To live by faith, recognize that God is already at work in you. He's not going to just start when you let go. He's already at work in you. Let me give you this verse from Hebrews 11, 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. The whole story was marked out by God before Moses was even born. And then it started right then and there when he was born. That was God's plan. God's already at work in you. God's plan existed before you existed. God's plan existed for you when you were born. It's not too late to let go. His plan is still there. Only you just may be too busy controlling things and doing things your way to get in it. Never, you know, let go. My people, let go. All right. To live by faith, another encouragement. Not only, you know, is God's plan already there and at work, okay? You can trust him on that, okay? Refuse to be defined by anything or anybody but God. Look at Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. We're just going through that. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of Carlsbad, excuse me, of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. It's heaven, folks. That's where you're going. You know, not down the street to Encinitas. Okay. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him, the Lord, who is invisible. Today, don't be defined by contemporary terms such as conservative or liberal. And so much discussion goes on about that. Oh, okay. But don't be defined by those terms. Rich or poor, educated or uneducated, neat, sloppy, intellectual, airhead. Handsome, beautiful, successful, loser. You're not defined by those terms. Those weigh you down. You, some of you people, don't carry that around. That's not how God defines you. That's not how he sees you. You want me to, I'm going to give you lots of scripture here. Look at this. Three things, okay? I'm going to tell you you're secure, you're safe, and you're significant. Look at this. You are secure. This is how God sees you. You put your name in here. I, Denny, okay? Whatever your name is. I am God's child. I am Christ's friend. I have been justified. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. I am a member of Christ's body. I have been adopted as God's child. I have a direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. I have been forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I am secure. And, oh, it goes on. You're safe. Look at this. I am free forever from condemnation. I am assured that all things work together for good. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I am confident the good work God began in me, he will complete. I am a citizen of heaven. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I can find grace and mercy to help me in my time of need. I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. You're safe. Safe. I mean, more than safe, God says, I see you as significant. Put your name in here. I am the salt of the earth. I am the branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am a personal witness of Christ. I am God's temple. You're carrying around the Holy Spirit. You're God's temple. It's a new covenant. Although it was given way back in Jeremiah, but it's fulfilled in the New Testament. I will send the Holy Spirit to keep you and guarantee you get to heaven. You are God's temple. I am God's workmanship. I may approach God with freedom and confidence boldly. And I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. That's how God sees you. Not those other ways. Refuse to be defined by the world would define you. See yourself as God sees you. And finally, to live by faith, expect to impact. When you live by faith, expect to impact others around you. Look at Hebrews. This whole story about parting the Red Sea. Look at this. Hebrews 11, 28, 29. By faith, he, Moses, kept the Passover and the application of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Remember, Moses took his staff. He was the one who said, stretch out your staff. Said, the Lord said, what are you yelling at me for? Stick out your staff over the water. That's what he said. Go back and look at it. Moses, stop talking to me. Just stick, put it out there. And Moses did it. But look, it wasn't just Moses that walked on the river. It says right there, the people, 1,500,000 of them or more, maybe 2 million or more, passed through the Red Sea as on dry land by his faith. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. You know why this story is here? It's to tell you When you live a life by faith, it's going to impact others. And God's going to take care of the good guys and the bad guys. Yeah. This story is there for a lesson for you. Yeah, it was their life, okay? But it's in our Bible, and it's a lesson for us. It's the assurance. When you live by faith, it will impact others. The good guys and the bad guys. So, Coastline Church, don't be afraid of tomorrow. And don't, okay, do not be satisfied with today. That's the greatest danger. I think that's the big one. And don't remain trapped in the past. A captive of safe. What I think I should do. My way versus God's way. You know, none of this, oh, you're Lord, I'm your servant, do this. No, no. Let go. And live by faith. Run the race marked out for us to live by faith. And run it with perseverance. And remember these words from Moses. My people, let go. Let go. Will you pray with me? Just bow your heads. Just bow your heads right now. Abba. Message today. Thank you for planning out and marking the race for us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ on whom we can fix our eyes. And let me say this to you. If you haven't given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't surrendered it. It's one of those things that you're just gripping on to. You're holding on to it because it's your control and not God's control. And you want to give that up today. Just right now, tell the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I confess. And I accept your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior. And I invite the Holy Spirit to come and indwell me. I will be your temple. If you're a Christian, you want to rededicate your life. You just want to recommit. You just want to let go of all the everything that hinders or the sin, the my way versus God's way. You want to recommit. Just ask the Lord to empower you. Bring to mind what Moses had said, let go. Don't be afraid of tomorrow. Don't let me be satisfied with today. Don't let me trap myself and let go. Father God, I would just pray for each one of us today. I know there isn't an exception in the room. None of us is perfect. We all come to you. With something that we're holding on to and that we have to let go of. Help us, Lord. Help us to be the people, not the ones that are just wandering around, you know, in Carlsbad or Egypt and the things like this, going nowhere. Help us to become the people who run the race you marked out for us by faith so that we can enter the promised land and we'll be on the right as sheep. Christ, I pray. Amen. Please stand with me. Stand. May I bless you? May the Lord bless you. Yeah. Yeah. May the Lord keep you. Cause his face to shine on you. May he make your way straight. And may he allow you. let go. Go in peace. In the name of Jesus.